Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. We begin by talking about what some consider a form of brain drain, the departure of in- and out-of-state students once they graduate from local colleges and universities. Why do they leave, and how can they be prevented from doing so? A recent survey of nearly 1,100 students from a dozen area colleges and universities, supplemented by various focus groups, delved into these issues. Joining me to discuss the findings are Lisa Richter, Managing Principal of Stakeholder Insights, a marketing research and consulting firm. It conducted the survey at the behest of the Regional Chamber. Valerie Patton is Executive Director of the St. Louis Business Diversity Initiative, whose mission is to create a more inclusive and welcoming environment for talent at all levels of St. Louis business. Ladies, thanks so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thank you for having us.
Lisa, let me begin with you. What's the headline from this survey?
Well, students are very interested in considering St. Louis as a place to continue to make their home. The top finding is that availability of good jobs in their field, followed by career growth opportunities after that first job, and wages and benefits are top of mind in terms of what will keep them here.
Not surprising. I think that's what most people want when they're embarking on a career.
No, but, you know, I think it was really reinforcing on how important being hired, being able to make one's way economically at the end of the what is now a more expensive educational experience is important to students today. Students are more focused on that first and second job than perhaps even 10 or 20 years ago. And I think part of it is the cost of education.
And Valerie Patton, what's your take on the findings of this survey?
We needed data to validate our subjective thoughts on why talent was leaving the region. So the study for us gave us the data that we needed to let us know why students are choosing to leave or to stay after they complete their education.
And are you encouraged by what you've found out?
Absolutely, we're encouraged. The study gave us the data. Now we're moving forward to put some things in place that will allow us to hopefully attract, retain, and engage more students throughout the region.
I'd like to take a moment from our conversation and bring in the voices of some students who we talked about. St. Louis Public Radio's intern, Valita Brown, spoke with seniors at Washington and St. Louis universities about their impressions of St. Louis and what they plan to do after graduation, and here is what they had to say.
I'll be working as a management consultant based in St. Louis, so I'll be traveling Monday through Thursday, but on the weekends and Fridays I'll be in St. Louis. To me, it reminds me a lot of Baltimore, like where I'm from, a lot of the similar issues as far as city versus county, demographics and things like that. Basing myself in a city where the cost of living is relatively cheap, it just puts me in a better financial situation going forward. Not necessarily sure I want to be in St. Louis for the long term, but for these next 2 or 3 years, I should be in a pretty good place.
I got into law school here, and I'll probably be coming here for law school. But as far as like where I want to spend the rest of my life, that most likely won't be in St. Louis. I don't necessarily know if I want to be in the Midwest. I grew up like 2 hours from here, and St. Louis is a cool city, but I'd want to be someplace a little bit bigger. Considering that I want to be a lawyer, I think St. Louis definitely has opportunities. There are plenty of lawyers here and law firms that I could work for.
After I graduate, I'm still kind of trying to decide where I want to be, if I'm going to be in grad school or if I'm going to go straight into work. And if I do work, I'd like to try in St. Louis, but I've got to be aware that that's not the only possibility. St. Louis is where it's where I grew up, so it's kind of where I feel at home. But I don't always feel like St. Louis is what you think of when, like, a younger group of people would want to live there. St. Louis always kind of feels old to me. Looking at other cities, I like, if I want to live downtown, I want to be able to get around without a car, because that's a huge expense. And in St. Louis, I don't always have that opportunity.
I am from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And after I graduate, those plans are still in the air a little bit. But I don't really see myself living here long term. Things tend to be kind of spread out. It's difficult to navigate. It seems like it's a city that's aging, and with that, it just doesn't have a lot of appeal that I think it used to. And I can't really put my finger on it 100%, but I think it's because St. Louis has resources, but so do other cities that have more of them or something that St. Louis lacks.
That was Valita Brown's interview with seniors Kyle Robbins, Leela Pritchett, Brendan Williams, and Marina Mills. Lisa, do you hear anything there that surprised you?
Not really. We've also conducted other research that indicates that students are also very open at this point in their lives to exploring other areas as well as ones that they know and are looking for different experiences in many cases if they can couple that with good job opportunities.
Yeah. Valerie, why is it important that we keep these students? As I recall the figures, about a quarter of them say they're splitting. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, they're definitely gone.
I think it is a cycle. So I think we need to always have new ideas, new thoughts, new experiences, new exposures. So it's good to have people coming in to the region, but there's also good to have college students that have been here for a little while and gotten acclimated. We need the new infusion of blood into our thought processes, into how we look at our systems, how we look at our processes. So I think it is a circle. So you need to have people coming in, and you will have people going out. But at the end of the day, that's made up of folks that may be coming from other regions for whatever reason, and that is students that have been living, working, playing, investing in the region for that 4 year, 6 year, however many years they've been here studying.
You bring an important point to the table, though, and that is that we may lose a quarter of the students if that percentage wouldn't hold up and they want to go other places. But there are other people who are coming to St. Louis attracted by things here that, you know, that are of interest to them and to their careers. I mean, the technology that we have here, the sciences, the biosciences and what have you, are all available here, and people are actually coming to this region as well as leaving.
Absolutely. We're number one in the startup arena.
Right.
You've got T-Rex and you've got Cortex, and those districts are getting to be cool and hip and fun places for people to live and play and work. But you also have other things that we're doing in the region, health, fintech, financial services and technology. You've got healthcare. You've got a number advanced manufacturing and logistics. So you have a number of cluster areas that we are working in and we're very successful in that we need folks to come here to look at the opportunity. And we find that many of the individuals that come here, once they get here, then they don't want to leave because the cost of living is relatively manageable. It is not the traffic of a Washington, D.C. or New York or Los Angeles. So there are many things that make us very attractive, but I think it's telling the story better on what we do have to offer.
Lisa, the figures also show that not quite half of the students that you surveyed are undecided. That's a pretty big group.
Absolutely, it is. And so those last few years, and we interviewed juniors, seniors, and graduate students, and I think the older students, the graduate students, are down to the wire in terms of making their decisions. They have financial decisions to make, and they're even more focused on, is this a place I want to live as well as work? And so they're weighing the cultural assets as well as the career assets and trying to decide, you know, here or elsewhere. Many times we'll have job offers from different cities as well as St. Louis. But I think one of our big challenges, in addition, as part of telling the story that Valerie referred to, is more connection between, more networking and connections between employers who need talented, well-educated students who are up on the latest technology and bringing that brain power into our local economy, and then to know what opportunities exist. We need to make the human connection between the employers and the student talent.
That has to be key. We certainly can't exclude the important role that employers and potential employers have to play.
Absolutely. And to Lisa's point, that is one of the benefits of St. Louis is access. You can generally get to someone very quickly in St. Louis because they may know someone, or One of your friends may know somebody that knows somebody, but it's real easy to meet a CEO or a leading startup tech person in this region. So it's just really, to Lisa's point, how do we do that better? How do we put the opportunity and the person together?
Well, how do we do that?
So there, we're working with a young startup company by the name of Better Weekdays on what we, and their product is what they call the eHarmony of Talent.
So Sounds like a dating service to me.
So it really is about better identifying the talent, what their passions are, what their skill sets are, what they will do well in, and then working with our corporate communities on making better fits for the opportunities that they have. So we're just starting that work, and this will be a regional solution around how do we better connect talent with opportunity.
Lisa, is there a single most important reason why people stay and a single most important or dominant reason why they leave?
That is difficult. I don't know that there's a single. I think it's a combination of factors. In addition to career opportunity and cost of living, what we have is top perceived strengths of St. Louis through the eyes of our 1,100 students are that we have rich cultural resources here. We're big and small at the same time. To Valerie's point, we're big enough to have major employers across a range of industries, but we're small enough that it's easy to meet people who can hire us, who we can socialize with, to get around, less than 20 minutes drive time. So we're a sophisticated cultural and economic center place, but we're also livable and accessible, and with that low cost of living.
You know, I had an opportunity to speak to a class at Washington University about a year ago. And one of the things I asked this group, and many of them were from out of town, many of them from here, I said, how many of you are going to stay in St. Louis after you graduate? They all laughed at me. Like, that's the most outrageous thing I've ever heard. And I thought, we've got a problem here if that's the way students feel. But that is not borne out necessarily by your survey.
Well, no, because Washington University was about 200 of our 1,100 interviews, and not all Washington University undergraduates and graduates necessarily felt that way, because we had some who grew up here and some who came from outside. But we had a number of students from the public universities as well as smaller colleges who lived here, have lived in the Midwest, and less oriented toward going back to someplace else. We have a mix of people, but I think it's making it it's giving them both social experiences as well as more career experiences to get them really interested in staying in St. Louis. And what we read a lot about millennials and millennials feeling underappreciated in the workplace, and I think that's something that we need to work at from both sides. The millennials need to make their case as to how talented and valuable they are, and the employers need to understand the assets that they bring to the workforce in terms of technology and, you know, up-to-date education and mentality for supporting a startup and job improvement thinking.
Valerie, you look like you're chomping at the bit to say something.
I really agree with Lisa's thought process. It is about millennials, but it's also about what's in the workplace today and what's going to create the best results. But St. Louis is that diamond in the rough to me. It has social. You can be other places within 3 to 4 hours if that's what you'd like to do. We've got a little bit of water. We've got a little bit of mountain. We have a little bit of everything all within reach. So when you look at it from that perspective, what we need to do in better telling the story is also breaking down some of our bubbles. So there are some universities in our region, you go to the campus and you basically stay within that campus. So we've got to get you off of the campus so you can make a better decision by being able to see the social, to see the arts. We have the largest public park in the country, bigger than Central Park. And it has all kind of free amenities in it. So if you don't take the initiative to be able to get outside the bubble, to what I just say, make an educated decision. You can't just stay in one place and be able to say it's good or bad. You have to be able to look at it from a holistic point of view.
That is an important point. I have to take a break. Let's do that now. We're talking about keeping our college graduates from local universities and colleges here after they graduate. My guests in studio are Lisa Richter, Managing Principal of Stakeholder Insights. Valerie Patton is Executive Director of the St. Louis Business Diversity Initiative. And we'd like to get you into the conversation and will when we come back. 382-8255 is our number. Send us a tweet at STL on Air. If you'd prefer to send an email, do so at talk@stlpublicradio.org. Back in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back. We'll continue our conversation on keeping college graduates right here in St. Louis with Lisa Richter and Valerie Patton. Well, one of the elephants in the room when it comes to talking about Missouri is something I just mentioned in the headlines is Ferguson. Is that coming into play? Valerie, I'll start with you. Coming into play, do you think, with the decision making?
To be quite honest, I don't think as much with younger individuals. They look at it more from a social activism point of view opposed to, I don't want to be here. Millennials very much want to have causes that they are championing and finding solutions for. So you will see that many of them will look at it as, oh, this is somewhere I can be and I can make a difference by participating in a mentoring program or after school group, or I can go out and paint storefronts on the weekend. So I don't think the younger demographic looks at it from as a negative, saying this is somewhere I cannot be. I think they look at it as this is somewhere I can be because this is where I can make a difference.
What do you think, Lisa?
Well, I want to return to the survey results. And we did what is called a gap analysis, where we look at how important certain factors are and compared them to how well our students perceive that St. Louis performs on those same factors. And we found that the fifth and sixth biggest gaps in terms of what we need to be and what we are were, first of all, that we allow our graduates equal opportunities regardless of race and ethnicity. And our non-Caucasian students gave us a lower grade as an employer overall in this community than our Caucasian students on offering equal opportunities. But we also found that regardless of race, students of all race and ethnic background think that our social climate could be better. We could be friendlier. We could be more open to outsiders. We could have more of a networking environment across race and ethnicity. And this is something we know about St. Louis. It is very important to our younger generation, and it's something that we need to be mindful of. If we want their talent and their new ideas, that is something that, as Valerie said, students want to get involved in the social climate and improving areas where we have been divided and where we have not had equal opportunities. So that's a challenge for St. Louis, I believe.
Our listener, Ron, wants to get into this part of the conversation. Let's bring him in. He's calling from St. Louis. Ron, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to make a comment in that I worked with a lot of youth in the African-American community that went into the engineering fields. I think over the last 18 years, we've graduated close to about 250 kids with engineering degrees. And I think out of that 250, I think three or four of them found jobs here in St. Louis. There are about six or seven females in that group that either have PhDs or are in the process of getting PhDs from MIT, Stanford, Notre Dame, University of Pennsylvania. They wanted to come back to St. Louis. The St. Louis corporations didn't hire them. So then when they started applying in Dallas and Florida, Atlanta, and D.C., and Boston, and California, they scooped them right up. So there's two different brain drains. There's a general brain drain, then there's a brain drain of African Americans. And I think a lot of these companies are in the good old boy network. They don't want to see African Americans highly educated in these companies. And if you look at most of the corporations here, and if you went and looked at their STEM fields, you'd find one or two people, maybe three, in the whole entire corporation. But you go to Atlanta, and I would talk to young people. They said, "Well, everybody up my chain, Uplink, is every other person is an African American."
Ron, let's get I don't want to interrupt, but we do have a time constraint. Let's get some comment on that. Let's start with who would like to respond to that, Valerie?
So that is one reason that we've started the work now 13 years ago, the St. Louis Business Diversity Initiative, working on strategy, solutions, and programs around workforce diversity and inclusion. This is not what I call the sexiest work in the world to do, and it takes time. And I know that we all have a story that we can tell about someone that we know that went away, or they are here and they're looking for other opportunities. There's systematic changes that have to happen, and we're attempting to make those systematic changes first by doing the study and identifying some of those areas. Yes, we know some of this stuff to be true, and then beginning our work within the corporations and other employment type structures to really look at talent for what talent is and taking away some of those barriers that are associated with talent based on past thoughts and past experiences and the like. And we have to really look at also then, and these are very complicated issues because there are many layers to them. Do we have the positions that are really available here for the specific area someone may be interested in? Do we have the number of opportunities available? There are many, many different pieces. So I acknowledge the fact, do we have issues? Absolutely. But I think we now are very, very focused through this work to attract and retain an abundance of multicultural talent in our region. So I think we really now are very, very focused on what we need to do. Will we see a change immediately? I think there may be some change, but I think we'll see longer term change over the years to come.
Right. I want to go back to the phones, but very quickly, we have a tweet here from Umar Lee, who wants to know, Lisa, if community colleges were also a part of this survey, because there is a sharp difference between community college and destination colleges.
No, we made because we have so many four-year colleges and universities, and we also wanted to talk to graduate students, we made a decision not to include the community college students in the survey. We did interview students from 12 area colleges and universities, and you know that can be a separate study. But it was quite an operation to get our Higher Education Council reps to help us put that sampling together. So no, they were not part of it. But this, I'm sure a lot of the same thinking and principles exist at that level of education as well.
Let's take a call. We have a number of emails and tweets relating to the medical profession. So let's bring in Marvin. Maybe we can consolidate all of that with his call. He's calling from St. Charles. Go ahead, Marvin.
Yes. My daughter went to a couple of colleges in Ohio and was an excellent student, and she got hired before she even finished the semester. But Missouri won't receive the benefit of her talents because they don't allow physician assistants to fully practice their medicine. In Ohio, she'll be able to even write prescriptions and assist in surgery if required. So she's been lost to Missouri. She's becoming an Ohio resident. She also has a friend or classmate from high school who is going to the PA program at St. Louis University, and she's not going to practice in Missouri either for the similar reasons she plans to practice in Illinois. So Missouri isn't insular just socially, but also professionally.
Who would like to comment on that? As I say, there are a couple of concerns that have been expressed with regard to that very issue.
So to your point, So I am executive director of the St. Louis Business Diversity Initiative, but I'm also vice president of inclusion and talent attraction at the St. Louis Regional Chamber. And that issue is a policy issue. So I definitely will end up having the conversation with my peer at the chamber around your concern and seeing what is going on in our legislature on making it friendly to work in St. Louis, in the state of Missouri, as a physician assistant.
All right. Let's take another call. Diana calls from St. Louis. Wait. Did we lose him? Looks like he had something he wanted to add to that.
I was going to say that I don't think it's entirely controlled by the legislature. I think it's limited by the professional organizations. And I think it's going to, you know, affect the cost of health care in Missouri, because people who could have been treated by a physician assistant, you know, may have to be seen instead by a doctor at a higher rate.
Well, thank you, Ron, for the call. Let's take another one here. We'll bring in Matt calling from St. Louis. Matt, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just, you know, I think young people, particularly around college age, they want to be somewhere that is sort of culturally relevant, and I don't think St. Louis does a very good job of billing itself that way. That's not to say we don't have a lot of great cultural institutions and a lot of great music and art and theater, but I don't think we're really positioning ourselves as leaders in that field, so to speak.
All right, Matt, let's comment on that. Who would like to respond? Lisa?
I'd like to ask you a question, Matt. Do you think that it's in part because we don't have a centralized location of information about what's happening, or is it the genre or the media itself that other areas have that we don't have here, you know, some kind of expressive art or culture form that other areas might have?
I think actually more than anything, it's just the support of the arts by the general public. Like, I'm a musician myself and have been in the St. Louis area for, I don't know, 15 years now or so.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a lot of musician friends also, and I have a lot of artist friends too. And it's just so rare that I go to shows that are all local musicians or regional musicians or artists that are really full. And I remember once going and visiting a friend in New York and going to a local band CD release party, and it was so packed we couldn't get in the door. And I just thought, wow, that never happens in St. Louis.
Okay, well, what do you think?
Maybe a combination of getting the word out on who's playing where. Also, New York is a larger and denser market if you're talking about Manhattan, lower Manhattan. So I don't know if we can compare apples to apples, but I know that's it's disappointing if you are an artist, and I know some local musicians who do play to audiences. But I don't know. Do you have suggestions on how to enrich?
I think he's gone now, unfortunately.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, it's difficult, Valerie, to compare ourselves to the New Yorks and the Chicagos and the Los Angeleses.
Absolutely. You need to compare apple to apples, and you need to be able to look at what you have. And I think that is one reason I come back to the point of we have to learn internally, so native St. Louisans, have to learn how to tell the story better. When you're sitting on an airplane flying to somewhere and your seatmate says, where are you from? You don't say you're from Collinsville or Maplewood. You say you're from St. Louis. So we need to learn how to tell that story internally better. And we have to have a good attitude about who we are. We can't be negative about who we are. You have a world-class baseball team. We get all the shows from Broadway, or many of them. We get most of the major concerts. But then to the point of the last caller, we got some great little venues you can go to just to get some good original jazz or blues or country or whatever you like. And I think that's one of the, once again, jewels of St. Louis. You can get it all right here.
Well, we have to wrap this up in a moment, but I think one of the problems St. Louis has is an inferiority complex. We've talked about it on this program. I have to get over that. Very quickly, Lisa and then Valerie, what happens now? We've got all this information. Now what?
Well, we created a benchmark measure which was Valerie's point at the beginning of our show. We wanted to document perceptions that people thought we had, so we have that measure. And Valerie can tell you what we're beginning to do in terms of action to address what we learned.
I have a strong impression you've been telling us that for the last 20 minutes.
Continue to tell us.
So we're going to tell the story better. We're working on that, and you'll be seeing some things in the future that will help us tell that story better. We have Show You St. Louis. We're getting ready to have our inaugural College Fest, which will be August the 27th, which is a Saturday from 10 to 2 at Pelker and Kaufman Parks in downtown St. Louis. And it's going to be just that, a college fest. So we're going to ask a whole lot of people to bring the best of St. Louis all to one place, and we'll be able to showcase it. We do welcoming orientations for individuals that relocate to St. Louis. We're working with the Mosaic Project, with the foreign-born population, and we're doing a major community marketing collaborative, which is really not only the storytelling, but really looking at a regional brand.
Okay. Well, we'll be touching base with you guys over the course of the next months to see how all of that is going. Thank you so much for being with us. Lisa Richter of Stakeholder Insights and Valerie Patton of St. Louis Business Diversity Initiative. Thank you so much for being with us and telling us about what you found out. Now it's time to go to work, right?
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you once again. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.